No, I would like to welcome our honorable members and members from the LGBT. Firstly, I would like him to apologize about the second time. Last week we agreed and we accepted the program to stay. We'll be starting our meeting at 10 o'clock. But we receive messages now, we can say in 9:30. I think we need to start this confusion now before we continue our meeting, preparing the other meetings to come. If you adopt a program, which is saying 10 o'clock, that means that is a very stipulated time that we are. The other time that they are written there, I think you are supposed to ignore them. And those who are making mistakes on that time must rectify those mistakes. So I'd like to apologize on that continuing. I haven't received any apologies from members. The only thing in apology is Honorable Abraham, who is in North Africa. The third item on the agenda, hoping that we receive last week's number. Going through them.
What is the date of the last week?
Anything that may be correct.
Chairperson, on page 2, just above Eastern Cape, there's a time allocated for debate to be extended. Chairperson, my comment would be just that this should apply not only here, but also in the House. We should extend time for the other parties to debate. Thank you, Chairperson. I'm sure you're not listening to the other.
You don't know what the issues that
we're saying. Okay, fine. Chairperson, under Eastern Cape, I would like to know, Chairperson, who decides which projects to be visited? Because I've never been invited to a decision where we decide that we are going to the Eastern Cape, we'll visit a project there, a project there, and a project there. Whatever the chair would like me to do.
We are correcting the minutes.
Okay. I stand corrected, Chairperson.
Yes, I just want to say that, by the way, we discussed that issue in our last meeting with the so we're not going to speak it because this one caught us telling about this.
But Chairperson, I think I still need to stand on a point of order now. The honourable member says that this was discussed. And if it was discussed, naturally, we are looking at things which were discussed. And therefore, it should show here that a decision after the discussion was taken to this effect. So if there's no decision, you got it. I've gone through them, but there's nothing saying anything about what I'm saying.
Let alone last week. I think we discussed this issue sometime last year. And we said last year already that the members of the committee, they should submit a proposal to the Chairperson for the committee. Because I think that the reason why we took that decision last year was the fact that the department, the usual, choose where to go, where not to go. And there's a standing committee decision that we could make that decision. Then look from there. I think that's the standing resolution of this committee. Thank
you.
Anything
on page 2?
questions.
The only thing maybe as I can report is that we did write those letters here. The three reasons for reporting. Page 3. If there is nothing from page 3, any more of our questions for me? Any September?
Thank you, Chapter 10. Honorable members of the portfolio committee, Chapter 10. We greet you in the name of OPP. Yebo. Sithi izilwane mazithile ezindleni. I will start by expatiating on the issue of the outline of the presentation. Our presentation is going to come in this format. I will be introducing the board members. That is in the name of OPP and the chairperson of OPP. My name is Nozbukiso Shabala. And then the business plan will be presented by the acting CEO, Mr. Fairwell Kateri. And then there will be a talk on the recent development that will be done by myself, Nozbukiso Shabala, and the chair. And the budget will be done by our CFO, Mr. Pierre Samyaster. And then the conclusion will be done by Mr. Hadeli once more. Having done that, I'll kick off by introducing the board members. With us here, I am Nozbukiso Shabalala, chairing the board of OPK. On my right hand, and then I'll ask him to stand so that the other members can see him there. His advocate, Dave Michel, he is chairperson of the audit. He will just present in 2 lines. If he goes beyond that, we'll talk him about what he does. After I have introduced Mr. Siano, chairperson of the R&D committee. He also is going to just briefly tell the committee what they do and the people of that committee. I also chair the RENCO committee. I will address the issues of RENCO during the course of the presentation. Thank you very much. Over to you, Mr. Sam, so that you can in the R&D committee.
Good morning, Chair, honorable members. In 2 sentences, R&D is looking at innovation and reformulation of the vaccines that are already in the market, and is also looking to take from the market what the new requirements and the demands are, incorporate them into the technology that is being used so that we can churn out the relevant products for the consumption of the animals out in the public. Thank you.
Madam Chair, within the Audit Committee, the focus has been on supply chain management within the production factory, essentially the coordination of inventories, sales, production processes, plant maintenance, so that one can optimize the factory's output, and secondly, enhanced risk management, including preventative maintenance of equipment, contamination, the management of contamination risk between the different vaccines, and the ownership of plants and buildings that has now come over from the ACW and working with broader security threats, and the ownership of intellectual property in the chief executive position.
Thank you very much, board members. Before I give the program over to the CEO, I would like to leave a message, a thank you message from Dr. Linda Makuleni, who has gone to Greener Pastures to the to the weather services to become a CEO of the weather services. She has since resigned from office as effect from the 1st of January, which is the service that she is going to be serving us with until the end of March. Because of operational reasons and also a smooth takeover, we have requested her to take her leave day until the end of March. She has asked the board to convey her gratitude for the good treatment that has been experienced in this portfolio committee, and her gratitude mainly on the chairperson for the guidance that she has had during her time in office. I needed to have done that before I hand over to the acting CEO of OPC, Babo Torek Abele. Over to you and give us about the business plan.
Honorable Chairperson, good morning, honorable members of the Portfolio Committee. I would like to start by saying that we have been given mandate at OBT. The mandate that has been given is that one of playing a pivotal role in the management and prevention of the animal disease in the whole country, in the state, as well as the African. And our vision or our dream basically is to be a global biotech manufacturer and a provider of animal products. And that will be underpinned by food and innovation as well as the customer team that we have at OBT. The mission, we want to translate the science into biological and health products, knowledge and technology resulting in improved animal health, food security and readiness, and safety for all our stakeholders. We have set ourselves certain goals, for instance, improving and streamlining of our current processes. So the following issues that are planned: diminishing resource planning, the enterprise resource planning system that will enable the business to improve the forecasting capabilities, the supply chain management. R&D, that is where the innovation comes in, that's where we investigate and process our products as well as introduction of new products. We are also looking in our production processes to improve our production planning capabilities and improve technology. We are operating in the two fields, the domestic and the international market. Within our domestic market, we are looking at the commercial farmers, but with a greater emphasis on our emerging farmers, where we are having aggressive marketing strategies in place, where we want to penetrate and reach everyone in the country where we can possibly do, and also interfacing with the local structures in those areas, including the small distributors, including the local areas. In the export market, we are exploring other markets, signing the memorandum of understanding with certain countries to ensure that our presence is in the international arena. One of our valuable assets, if you call it intangible assets, is our intellectual property on the dossier for the recipe of our product. We have embarked on the project, IP. We are now moving into our second phase of implementing the management framework and also creating the awareness in the entire business. And we are also investigating ownership of some of these intellectual properties between ourselves and the agricultural research involving our shareholders and investors. Our strategic thrust concentrates on two areas, differentiation and collaboration. We are developing a position issues affecting our industry. As we include, for instance, the OVI, on the Sports Veterinary Institute, they are developing that particular avian flu, and we will be producing, marketing, and selling that product. Under minimizing the cost of production, we are a business that must stay, we must continue to protect the animal health. Therefore, we must be sustainable in the by containing the cost. We are also looking at using the emerging and advanced technologies in all our operations. We are investigating upgrading our facility with the requirements that is required by particularly in the European Union, which is called good manufacturer in such presentation. We're working hard on that, and of course our plans in innovation in research and development. Our new product must come onto the shelf. The old product must be enhanced in terms of our offer, we want to be seen in the marketplace. We are into branding. We've got a plan in place. We are also having aggressive marketing elsewhere. And we are also in the international market and having a premium market. The open dialogue will always be there between our stakeholders. That will enable a better understanding and the participation. The example is national government, we're talking to them, Department of Health and Social Care, provincial department, local government, as well as the local structure. In this business, we need to collaborate, have some alliances in the sector of research and development, technology, and funding. The University of Pretoria is one of our alliances, and we've got other partnerships with other countries as well. In terms of our dream, where we want to take our ODP, within the 6 years, we want to achieve 500 million rand. If the shareholder says, what about listing, we'll say we will be ready, because that's what we are preparing in terms of our dream. And we want to become the specialist in tropical diseases, and we also want to become a specialist in preventative products for animal health and for food security. Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. I would like Ms. Shabalala to take us through in the next presentation. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. I am back again. Now I'll be talking to one document that we left in October when we reported that we'll be engaging in the restructuring of OGP. And our reasons for restructuring were the reasons of operational reasons and actually with an intention to turn around the negative into the positive. Our restructuring, you will remember that during the restructuring, jobs get lost. And I'm happy to inform the committee through you, Chair, that there were only 4 people who actually were displaced, not lost jobs, but they were displaced, and we have offered them alternative positions within OPP. And we are waiting for one person to actually make up their mind whether they take these offerings that an offer that we have forwarded to her so that we can proceed. The process started in December, 1st of December, and it ended on the 1st of March. It's very minimum hiccup, and we have communicated with the union, and the union has actually agreed and blessed the process of restructuring. Included in the restructuring, I would like to inform the portfolio committee that there has been an aggressive search for extra board members done by the Minister of Agriculture, namely Lukuban, inviting people to come over and join the OPP board. The process is ongoing, and I think it is at a level now that the minister is busy choosing so that she can inform this committee about the new board members that have joined OPP. In addition to that, the note that I would like to leave with the committee is the fact that we are enjoying a lot of brains and input that comes from the Ministry's office in terms of support during the restructuring, in terms of information that is required, and alliances that have been discussed by the CEO from the external countries. I'll make mention of the fact that there are some countries that have already visited OPP during the course of this year. 2 countries have come over to OPP to talk to us. There is hope. But let me concentrate on the restructuring part of things. We intend to have a thorough look into the OPP's effective business approach so that we turn the negative into the positive. The previous structure that we had
this in front of us is the previous structure that we had. It wasn't user friendly, and it needed second attention as we reported to the portfolio committee in October last year. The approved structure, which has been attended to, is at a stage now where it is being implemented. We have introduced and placed executives. We have placed four executives from internal who have actually succeeded in securing the executive position within OBC. And we are glad to say the process was well informed, and it actually is also introducing a lot of change so that things are attended to. Our major emphasis is to have resident people who are leaving the company instead of them being out of the company and nobody looks after the business while they are away. So we have made that emphasis, and we put them in a contract of 5 years so that we are able to pinpoint areas of weaknesses, and therefore if somebody is not performing and is constantly not performing, we will be able to undo the tie and allow them to leave after 5 years. We are promising that we are going to groom them, train them, retrain them, and guide them. But if all fails, after 5 years, we will be able to divorce. We will be the agreement that we have put in place with them. OPC has engaged in a national point status, national key point status. This status was achieved in January 22nd. The Minister of South African SHTF handed over the certificate for NKT to the Minister of Agriculture and Land Affairs. The impact of being NKT is it has got a business impact. We need to have alliances, and the alliances that we have there is actually NIA, which is the National Intelligence Agency, it's South African Police Services, it is OPT. But when we look at the evidence that was handed over during the handover of the certificate, we notice, Chairperson, to you, we notice that there are some problems that we need to address in terms of the Act, and we have started the process of looking thoroughly into the Act, because the Act was promulgated in 1947, OPC was deregistered in 1993 in this. Of course, we are now looking at the reason for deregistering OPT in the NKP, and also looking at the way forward since now we have re-engaged in the status, so that the status is compliant to the OPT of today and our country of today. And see further than that, whether we are not engaging extra alliances. That will be done through the in conjunction with the Office of the Minister. I am happy as well to report that the Minister's Office is attending to that in conjunction with OPT, with the OPT Board. In October or November next this year, we will be reporting otherwise. Everything that comes, that is new, it comes with a financial impact. There are things that are being introduced, especially the issue of security. OPT is going to be engaging in a special security position for the company because of the type of business that we are in, especially what has been mentioned during the CEO's presentation in terms of looking after the OPT business so that the intellectual property does not go away, either through the employees or people who do business together with OPT. We will be attending to that through this alliance that we have engaged in. The legal part of it will be dealt with through the Act of OPT. With that, Chairperson, I would like to hand over to the CFO to talk to the committee about the budget. Thank you very much.
Good morning, Chair. Good morning, honourable members of the Portfolio Committee. It is again my privilege to present the financial budget for the next 3 years to this committee. I'm going to deal with the following issues: the sales of the company, the expenses, the profits, and then obviously the cash flow. Each of the slides takes more or less the same format, where I start with the budget for next year, the 2007-08 year, and compare that to the current budget year, which is 2006-07. And in the local sales, you see that there's 10% growth that is brought into the budget, and that is based on two issues. Growth is equally shared between the volume and the price. We believe that the volume will grow because of the performance contract that we find with our major distributor, where the growth is contracted and agreed upon every year. We also intend to launch a new product called Triple Share, which will also enhance the sales of the company. We do believe that the total market share of OBT will remain unchanged to a large extent, but due to some expected outbreaks of infect-borne diseases, we expect that to contribute to the growth of 5%. In addition to that, the price increases will be in line with inflation, which is and we will continue to price our products competitively, making sure that the price that is in the market is well positioned so that it is comparable to those of the competitors. All the graph slides track a similar format, whereby the green block, the first three, those are the actual results of the past 3 years, including the current year, which obviously is not completed. Then compare that with the budget of the next 3 years. In the local sales, you see that the company has shown a good growth since 2004-05, and that the 10% between the 2006-07 and 2007-08 years is quite visible there. And after that, we believe that the increase will be based on price and not necessarily further volume growth. We look at the export sales. We are budgeting 31 million rand for 2007-08, and comparing that to 2006-07, it shows a negative growth of 46%. Obviously, that might sound alarming, but you have to keep in mind what has happened in the current financial year. In order for OBT to reposition itself and to explain back what was ours, we have to make sure that we position ourselves well in the market. We have to make sure that our registration of our products take place at the earliest possible time in the different countries that we are competing in. We have to make sure that we pay attention to those classical constraints of entering new markets. And the method that we chose there would be to use agents instead of direct selling, unless the agreements in place between governments that we can sell directly from one government to another, then obviously we'll take that through. Also important for the export sales, very important is that there must be new product development in the coming year, and for that we are investing in R&D, and those products need to be developed as quickly as possible before it is ready. Plans for the sale of those products in the coming year. This graph also might look a little bit alarming, and as I said, in the 2006-07 year, it hasn't gone very well. with regard to export files. And the main reason for that is that the European Union has decided not to purchase or to procure any live vaccine from any country. Unfortunately, our vaccines that are produced are largely live vaccines. So obviously we need to come up with vaccines that are dead or inactivated in order for us to refine that market. And we believe that we can do so, and that's why we've told you in the budget that is showing a very aggressive growth over the next 3 years based on that inactivated product. We also are looking at other products that are not necessarily for Europe, but for other countries in the world, and they are also currently busy with the R&D on those products. In the total sales compared to the previous year, 93 million versus 114 million, which is a negative growth of 18%. Graphical form, again, you can see the growth in the export market versus that of the local market. So the cost of sales, there's a 6% decline in the cost of sales, 63 million versus 67 million. And the reason for the decline is obviously due to lower sales. There's 18% lower sales budgeted for. For ODP to enter new markets and to develop new products, we cannot do everything ourselves. We will unfortunately have to make use of other companies outside South Africa and to produce some of the products, and therefore the cost of sales will increase. Where we outsource the production to companies that are GMP certified, GMP, the Good Manufacturing Practice, that's an international quality standard. And secondly, also we expect a little bit more on labor costs, so it's based on inflation. Then the expense budget of the company. The budget is 46 million compared to 42 million in the previous year. That's a 10% increase in cost, which we believe is quite small compared to what we planned for. And it specifically if we look at R&D, it's a 95% increase. And the salaries of the company is going to increase by 5%, which is based on inflation, even though we have planned 11 new people in the company to create 11 new positions. And those are mostly people who are going to spend a lot of money on R&D. So we are appointing technologists. Also the fact that the company is now a national key point, we also are going to appoint a security manager. From a sales point of view, we're going to increase the sales force by appointing new sales reps as well. The marketing expenditure of the company is also going to increase, mainly due to new products being launched. As I mentioned earlier, the triple share product specifically for South Africa. There's also other products that are going to be launched in other countries. Then just getting back to the R&D expenses, we are investing heavily into product development, and we have outsourced some of this development to OBI, which is part of the ARC. We've also signed contracts with some of the South African universities, and OBI, how much is it worth? Basically, it's the same. What is the ARC? And then fortifying the demons with international entities to assist us with the development. And this, some of these contracts they've already started working on. And obviously we hope that there's some time for the sales this year. The reason why we are outsourcing some of the work is because in South Africa there aren't any facilities that are GMP certified that can accommodate the production of vaccines. There is one facility in KwaZulu-Natal, they are already on the limits with regards to production. And that's why we have to make use of companies outside of that. The increase is, as I said, it's 10% in 2007-08, and thereafter the increase in the space is 5% per annum. The profit of the company, we budget for a loss of 13 million compared to a profit of 6 million in the previous year. And you may ask why we've been showing a loss where in the past obviously we've had very good profits in previous years. As you can see in the graph, that there is a negative trend from 2004-05. And we have to turn us around in the next year. So the reason for the decline is it's very important to know that IVT is a volume-driven business. So as soon as the sales quantities fall, it will mean that there will be lower profits or there will be losses. And as you see, we saw in the previous graphs that the exports have a decline over the past 3 years, and that's why the company is suffering a loss in this current year. Also, OBP has a high portion of fixed costs that also contribute to the loss, and the fact that OBP is investing heavily in R&D in the next year, that also contributes to the loss. The fact that some of the work is outsourced to other countries, means that the production is more expensive because the products are produced under GMP conditions, which is more expensive than non-GMP conditions. The capital expenditure is 18 million compared to 18 million of the previous year, and we are concentrating on those type of expenses that are necessary for the short term, and because the upgrade of facilities is planned for the following year after the 2007-08 year, we budget for 15 million rand per annum from 2008-09 onwards for the upgrade of the facility. The initial plan that we had was to upgrade the first one department and then another. We've revised that and are busy working on a total plan for the upgrade of the OBP facilities. So some of the items which we intend to procure. Then the cash flow. A negative cash flow of 26 million rand for this year compared to a negative cash flow of 20 million for the previous year. And the reason for that obviously is due to the fact that the company is not making profits as it used to, and also that we are investing specifically in R&D and in capital expenditure. And it is also worth noting that by the year 2019, OBP would have used up all its cash reserves and will require funding of 10.9 million. Okay, thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you, Chair, and I'll hand over to the CEO to do the closing. Before he does that, I would like to mention to the committee that OPC is committed in the training development of skills within the South African market, both rural and areas where necessary. And we have a plan that is going to be giving results by November. We will be able to report the plan of that skills training within the country. And the support of our minister as well is registered on that skills development plan. I will hand over to Mr. Hadley to close for us.
Thank you, Chairperson. Honorable members, I think after going through the slides, everyone can see the challenges that are ahead of us. We have raised up for those challenges. The new structure is in place, the coordination is in place, and I think we are ready to face the challenges, to take all these into development, maybe quite to the next level. And thank you very much for giving us a good to this job. Thank you very much.
To what extent do you have competition from the Botswana facilities, which are also operating in Southern Africa in terms of animal vaccine? How is the cooperation between OBC and OBI? Is there still a close relation in terms of working together? And then, in terms of helping the vaccine farmers, is there, in terms of the cost of the seeds, are there any subsidies that you have on that side to make it possible, because vaccines are becoming quite expensive lately? And then in terms of the sales towards Europe, where live vaccines were for a long time being a debatable point, could that not have been foreseen that OBC timeously then went over to the other form of vaccines and not live vaccines? Could that not have been identified earlier? I think I'll stop at that.
Thank you, ma'am. Let us another on page 6 on the first page. You mentioned that partnership with other entities on the page 1 joint policy, and then in just a slide after that, talking about listing on the topic list. Two questions on that. Do you achieve this trust related to each other? Are you looking for a partner to go to the public things? Or usually, on building the public things, you want to raise capital. Is that the main reason why you are doing that? What you would like to do? And seeing the problems that was spelled out here on the export sales, is that the way to go?
Thank you. Such a scholar, such a person, if you hear about the work, what I'm asking the CEO, how one would wish that he is not at such a what a problem with the people acting for the long time. Some of the questions that may or more letter them that they can sort that out. First of all, let me also thank them for the presentation, and there's a lot of work which has been put into it. Jefferson, they say they help the commercial and the emerging farmers. How do they help the commercial and emerging farmers? And naturally, the emphasis they made was on emerging farmers. How do they help them? Because I will come across them anywhere I go. Secondly, the animal health. They talk about animal health. Are you able to foresee the diseases before they come? And are you able to communicate that to the farmers? For instance, it's in Vietnam now, the cattle are dying every now and again. I don't know whether it's lumpy disease or lumpy disease, but they are dying now. Thirdly, there's a dialogue with them and the municipalities and the provinces. What do you expect to achieve out of this dialogue? On page 10 of the slide, the president did come out quite clearly as to the reason for the variant. The 46% as variant there. He was not quite clear to me as to what caused this variant and how they will cope with it. On page 11, the middle slide, in 2006-2007, there was a dip in the exports. And 2007, 2008, 2008, 2009, 2009, 2010, there's a rapid rise. Is that realistic? Are we realistic when we have a dip and all of a sudden we have that rapid rise? What do we expect to call this rapid rise? Thank you, sir.
Yeah, thanks, Mr. President. I don't know whether I should join my comrade Cry in terms of thank you for your
brother, not Tom.
Perhaps, is it that from what one of the things you said? I don't want to say comrade, but oh, brother, big to say. But, you know, the only problem in public sector, where you have people acting for years, and find that when people act for years, they've got other business to have. I hope that in this case, the FCO isn't running another business. Having to act for 2 days in the acting position and the rest running his own business somewhere else. I hope that's not the case. If that is the case, of course, we'll catch up with that. The second part is linked with the question of since he's an acting CEO, I hope you have got a process in place to make sure that position is advertised and that position feels as soon as practical as possible. Maybe should be also indicate to us in terms of when are you intending to fill that particular position. And I want to ask how long was it indicated in terms of the previous CEO that he has served. And it's also fair that I also hope that in terms of the structure, which is approved structure before us, which I'm going to come back later in terms of the presentation in your presentation 2005-2006. I'll come back later. When we do the skills development, that in terms of your delegation too, we should not see a male-dominated community in delegation next time. There should be a mixture, you see, of the delegation. I'll come back later in terms of the skills development. And this is going to extend summary in terms of your presentation. That one could change the start. But I look at some thoughts in relation to the criminal and administration service. We can see the fact us on this particular one, but if you look at 2007, 2009, you see the increase in terms of these two areas. You can explain to us in terms of that. And also if you look at your travel expenses, that your 2007, 2008, and 2009, also that one is increasing. in terms of the limited exponent in terms of that. And if I may leave that, come to the other one. There's another person that has to play to us in our system, so we can both talk and ask for the question. There's this person that was later. If I may refer to that, the last one, in terms of the total expenditure for 2728, in terms of the RM, they look at the finish and 15th and land building. You know, I don't know what they were saying when they were before us last time telling us that they were renting a certain thing. I don't know what they were saying to fish. But even look at the land and buildings. We look at the 250,000 buildings. And of course, you see, we need to check what is the case in terms of. Maybe this what is the strategy in terms of that, you know, so that we can get to understand exactly what you mean by that. Let me come back to the structure that has been previous structure and structure approved here. And I want to link that one with the document that was presented to us in 2005-2006. Let me quickly go to the skill development as you referred to it. When you came before us about a year ago, you had a structure of your skills and equity plan, which you questioned, you said, and you promised us that we are going to give you that one as well, as quickly as possible. When you get to the diversity chapter in terms of your equity plan, though it's not indicated in the presentation there, which maybe you need to just explain to us, which maybe we'll still have to come back to us in terms of that particular. So that is critical, your equity plan. Though it's not presented today, it isn't just a question of why that is not presented. If you can between those questions that we gave, the top management, we have four black, three white, two females, and five men. And the professional, which we have the major problem in terms of the skill development, in terms of your scenario there, you had about nine white and eight black. And in terms of your skills, you find that when you move further down, the more you go down in terms of scale, the more the blacks coming up and the more white leaner and leaner and leaner. Which is even said then, that the problem that you have, when your current development goes up, that is going to skew this later stage. That needs to be balanced. For example, if I may make an example of your semi-skilled and professional decision making, you have 66 left and 281. When you look at that environment, you find that at a later stage, you will have a problem in terms of your scenario. And also if you look at unskilled and defined decision making, you've got 55 blacks and 61. 61 blacks and 61. So I'm saying that maybe you still have to, you could explain to us, maybe not now, if you can now, of course, but if not, give that link. Sum up a very clear in terms of your arrangement and your skills development, as you said that you are serious about your skills and development. Let me just let me end the gist. The last one. The previous structure, in terms of the structure, we've got operating research and development. Maybe you can help me in the new structure. I don't see your concept way that it appears. You can help me make a decision properly because your research has been one of the bigger issues in terms of your environment, so to speak. But here it doesn't speak at all. Maybe you just explain something in terms of that. Thank you.
You did mention that we are working with the approach of the operation of the design of the operation 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 of the oper
I don't want to upset you, but I'm going to go to court and tell
you.
It is all right to hear what you say.
One of your sisters is to find health emerging from, now the question has already been asked, how do you do this? The question from me is that how near are you to this emerging from, how visible are you to them in order to build up the relationship and to connect us to the point where they can be self-sustainable? And also, I'm a little bit concerned about the availability of your product with the very same market that we are discussing. My view is that if these people have to feel that they are home in your camp, then that's the relationship that really is possible, and the product should also be available at close quarters or vicinity where they are. The amazing farmers are mainly in the rural area. Are you penetrating that type of market?
Yes, thank you, Chairperson. Just one question. You indicated in your speech in one of the slides that you deem it a preventative measure. I don't remember where now, but you talk about prevention. Now, around South Africa, you've got different types of farmers. You've got those that rely on extension services, mostly to be told that this animal is sick and so on. And you've got those that have got the know-how. Now, how proactive are you? Or how do you work with the municipalities or the rural areas in particular, where there are no veterinary centers that can make sure that you know what is happening in a particular area in time, so that you prevent the spread of the particular disease, like foot and mouth, in poultry, in most cases in South Africa, it was Newcastle disease, and this new one is. How do you then work with the communal areas in particular to enable those emerging farmers, those black incoming farmers, to also benefit from what you are doing, not only commercial farmers? That's the question.
Yeah, so that's if you allow me to have been done, this is another question. That's one question that I need. If you allow me to have been done, if I'm looking at your mandate, you said your company mandate to play a pivotal role in the management and prevention of animal disease in the country, that they can have. That's your main mandate. If I'm correct. But if I'm looking at this presentation here, we are seeing at the end of the day that the presentation on your strategic plan for 2007 to 10, the last page there, I think the near cry, not cry, now, ask a question around the listing. There's a bullet just below that one, which reads as follows: become a specialist in preventive medicine in human and animal health care. Underlining human. I just want to check if I'm reading your company mandate.
and also referring to the one if you say medicine in human health care. I just want you to expand for us whether you are extending your mandate or not, or you want to pass the current self-sufficient health. You said just want you to explain to us on that, because if that is the case, not unless you are saying there is an overlapping of this disease, you can include enough. You put a mouth disease, then it's going to be hit by antibiotics, by human beings, and to make sure that those human beings are not going to die in the process. I don't know, you need to get explained out of that particular one. Maybe the last one is your outsourcing. You know, sir, I always have a problem in a number of areas. I raised it in readiness the last time, last week. Where in public sector practitioners, you will have the consultants which are running departments mostly. You find that a person is keeping on getting consultants, though that person is employed to do a certain job. But let me leave that or a company certain consultants later. The question of the outsourcing has really indicated that the reason for outsourcing just because you don't have in country the expertise which are needed. Because that you are inherent in terms of outsourcing, whether it be much better if that work is done internally as opposed to outsourcing that part of the responsibility. So that it can make a comparison between the cost that's incurred for the outsourcing and the cost that may be incurred if you're not outsourcing that particular responsibility.
And I think that is only one
person from the report. Anything from us. You know, this has been raised again. I want you to can really expand for us. Let's address us on that particular issue. Leaking what Comrade Mantu indicated in terms of your marketing strategy. Whether the native farmers are really making use of your cloud, or are you really vividly seeing the native farmers in practice? I think this was raised last time when it came before us in relation to the outbreak of disease in in that area where the pigs were dying like yellow, you call it that way. And maybe I've got only time before I set up my mind as well. It has not been told before the pigs that were killed by the fact that it's not for them, it's for the other. That was killed with them when they come before. People have not been killed at all. For the big but in terms of that package issue, whether or not you are also asking
Honorable Chairperson, thank you very much. I have documented the questions. Please, you can correct me as I read them if I've left out some of the messages, okay? The first question is about the avian flu. Are we ready in the event of the outbreak? I'll give that question to Mr. Siane to handle. Number two, to what extent do we have competition with Botswana? The CEO will handle, acting CEO will handle that. Number three, how is the cooperation with the ARC and OVI? The CEO will take care of that. Any subsidies to emerging farmers? The CEO will take that on. Live vaccines, why did it take so long to realize that we should not have an activated one? I'll give that to Mr. Siane. Number six, listing. Partnership, stock exchange, what do we actually mean about that, okay? Number seven, the CEOs should not be around for too long. They must move on and permanent must be appointed. Ms. Shabalala will take that. Imagine farmers, how do you help them, the CEO? Number nine, animal health. Can you foresee the animal outbreak, animal disease, Anna? Number 10, dialogues with municipality. What do you talk to them? I will give that one to CFO. Explanation on the variances, CFO. Number 12, problem in public sectors. I think this is the same as the other one about how long this acting will take place, Ms. Shabalala? Number 13, is there a process of filling in the position of the CEO of Ms. Shabalala? We should see mixture of male and female in our presentation, Mrs. Shabalala. Travel expenses on the increase, why? CFO. The proposed structure, that was a comment in my opinion. Number 18, skills development. A request for the need for the diversity profile, maybe now or in future, Ms. Shabalala. Number
19. I don't want to repeat those
Number 19, R&D could not be traced on the structure, Ms. Shabalala. Working with outside companies to acquire products, why not locally, Mr. Siane. 21, OBP, how do you market yourself, municipality CEO? Barriers to entry, what are they, Mr. Siane? Training of animal health to our people, that is, imagine commerce, the focus maybe not on the local people, CEO. What is the relationship with Alphabet, CEO? Imagine commerce, how near or visible are you, CEO? How do you make products available to Imagine Farmers, CEO? 27, you talk about the prevention. We have farmers who have less knowledge. How do you work with the municipality and question, CEO? Mandate on animal, we're talking of human health. Are we moving into medicine? CEO, my colleagues can help you on that one as well. And last but not least, outsourcing. Have we done any comparison between outsourcing versus a local manufacturer, CEO? Do you visit the emerging farmers? That is the last one, CEO. are the include first one, Mr. Siane, please.
Thank you, Chair, honorable members. Again, who has this year, but not as a scale that it has showed itself and manifested itself in other countries. We are in collaboration working with the University of Cape Town. There is a professor who is doing this research around the business. You would understand we are not at the basic research side. We are more on the applied research. The basic research usually leads to an institution, like academic institution and tertiary institution. And at times we give it to institutions like OBI. But when it gets to a point where it's almost ready to be packaged for commercialization, that's where we can't make. So at this stage, what I would say is there is cooperation and collaboration that is going on. You can ask the University of Cape Town to take it to a little degree. And when the time is right for the project to be moved over to OBT, we will then provide. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. The competition between OBP and Botswana. Currently, the competition is not that significant, and we do welcome competition in a way, a healthy one. Therefore, at this point in time, we are the market leaders, and we hope to continue to do so. Basically, that is the position on that one. Number three, our cooperation with Agricultural Research Council and OVI. I would say they are performing most of our research activities. We do the marketing, the production, and the distribution. And the cooperation is good so far, and we are talking on a constant basis. Any subsidies to the farmers? OBP is doing everything possible to try to reach everybody out there as much as we can. In fact, we have gone in some cases to the extent of having smaller packs to enable the smaller farmers out there. We have got the farmers days where we do and participate and meet with the smaller farmers. We are currently working on an aggressive marketing strategy where we will be advertising, disseminating information to the small farmers in our local languages. A live vaccine, why did it take us so long? Mr. Siane, can you handle that one, please?
Thank you, again, sir, and honorable members. The project itself is not a short-term, it's not a short-term health research. One would agree that the same relevance has to be isolated, you know, and we are talking here about blue sun, which has several things. So we are about 8-10 things that we have to look into, and look at the process of inactivity, different arguments that have to be met with a brain in order to take the test from animals. So we have started the process, not just this year or last year, it's about 3 years we've been working on that project, and we are happy to say, at the stage, we have the strain that is working. We have the adjuvants that are used with the strain, and that's why we are at a point where we now have outsourced to a facility which has the upscaling facility. And not just upscaling facility, but upscaling facility which are also GMP compliant, which is another barrier that we have been experiencing in the international market. So we have addressed this area, but probably if we had done it 10 years before, we would have been, you know, right in the market.
Thank you.
What
about the
good manufacturing sector? It's a requirement for most agricultural products, but you will find it even goes into manufacturing more complicated.
Okay, the next question is, acting CEOs must not be too long. Ms. Shabalala.
Thank you, Chairperson, to you. I would like to take point 7 because it's talking to the acting CEO. Point 12 is talking to the acting CEO. 13 is talking to the acting CEO. I'll combine all these two, but I'll start with a background that is informing this committee. How it came about. When we were here in October, late October, and November. when we were in this same room in our committee last year, we were still intact. And when we presented our strategy, the same strategy, we were still in touch, we had an MD in place. A week later, when we got back home, after the strategy planning session, we were taken by surprise to notice that our MD is tendering a resignation. Already she had been appointed on the other side, in the Weather Services Department. That came in when we had approved a restructured OPT, and it became a bit complex for us. Two very major processes coming to this is lose an MP. You are losing a board member, and you are also losing a CEO, because that combined makes the man that is, or the woman that is on the top. So I need that noted. That to start looking for an acting person as a responsible board, we felt that let us go full time, because it was immediately now in January to start looking for that person while we have a period of 3 months to do that, because the MP was going to be moving out at the end of March. We failed in the marketplace to find people that were going to be able to come after their engagement at the end of March. It was going to be irresponsible of this board to find somebody who is not a business leader. We were looking for a business leader, and we were looking for somebody who can champion OPT during this period of restructuring, and not beyond the period where we started engaging in the advertisement of the CEO. The process is on of advertising. The closing has closing date has gone past. Applications have been received, and the process is going to start. We had to put the process on hold for the 1st of March, because that time we were also in another project where we were actually placing, due to restructuring, placing executive managers in their position, which has been done very smoothly and with a sense of responsibility in terms of turning around the position OPC is in. I'll sneak in the fact of using consultants under the auspices of restructuring. Part of the reason that OPP felt that we need to restructure and position the company so that it is able to deliver. We looked at what has been happening, and we looked at what is required so that we can take off the issue of consultants that have been operating within OPT where not necessary. But OPT being a company that has got special needs for special tasks, we think you need to use consultants. And it is proper to put in record the fact that using a consultant sometimes is a very good approach in business, because you save on the medical aids and everything, that it's usually a short term. What you do with a person after you have completed the whole task and that person is in, and you accept with a person, it becomes more expensive, and you have to pay severance packages to people who you now want to get rid of. That is just by the way, so that I can address the issue of acting CEO specifically on point 12 and 13. Acting people and OPT has a reputation of having its people in place, be it it is under normal circumstances. When challenges call, we need to engage in a subject, which is the reason why now we are standing with an acting CEO who we had to go and draw from his own business that he is running, and he has management in his own business. We had to request him to please come over, and we have freedom service level agreement that is monitored on a weekly basis and reported accordingly. The first month that we have gone through right now with him has got extremely good results that have addressed the questions that were asked by the portfolio committee. As you can notice, that the questions that we had last time, we have implemented and corrected the proposals that were made. The issue of the term of office of the current acting CEO, he has made it very clear to us when he engaged with us that he has only got these first 6 months with us. The list can go into 8 months, but not more than that, because there is no way he can abandon his business completely. And therefore, the process is being set up to place somebody, and we have tasked with a task to leave the sphere with the person after Operation Cleanup. OPP is engaged in Operation Cleanup in the proper sense of the word, because of tidying up certain things that have been highlighted by the portfolio committee, which I really appreciate, because coming there, it changed us, it sharpens our eyes and minds. It makes us more aware, and it then needs us to take the way forward for all the processes that are required by this committee. That is why we can advocate and say, we will send you something different in October. Wait for October and you will know what's going to be happening. Thank you very much, Chairperson. I'm not making it a dialogue. We have during the restructuring. I'm saying wait until you see us in October. During restructuring, OPP was 5 years old as a corporate body. Now, is year 2007. This board has engaged in an exercise where we are saying, let us benchmark and see what others are paying. I say wait until it is year 2007 when we are in this policy. We should be prepared. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ms. Shabalala. My apology, Honorable Chairperson. I omitted question 6. On the partnership through cash stock listing by day. Would you like just to touch on that one there?
Madam Chair, if we deal with the listing, there is no intention on ABP price to list. We're clear we don't have that intention. What we do in Google is that we see many benefits of listing, particularly when it comes back to the desire for excellence, corporate governance, transparency. The stock exchange can be a tough master and keeps management and the board on their toes. And we feel that in the longer term, that would be a very good discipline for the company to operate under. So what we're trying to do is to create the awareness within the company. Guys, don't rest on your laurels and think you only go once or twice a year to a portfolio committee or to SCOPA or publish an annual report. You've actually got to live in the real world that you are held responsible for the activities. And we're trying to create that awareness that we actually, it's in the pursuit of excellence. We have a strong balance sheet with cash reserves. We have a good relationship with our shareholder in government, and we own our own land and buildings with no debt. So there's no need to go for that. But we would like to be able to come 5, 8 years time, whatever, as the turnover targets are approached, that you guys as government may decide now is the time for government to do that. Secondly, on the strategic alliances, we have, for example, had a meeting with Afrivet. We understand some of the background of Afrivet. Many of the top Afrivet people have come from an honest report background. They've got some of those skills. Where those are advantageous to our mission going forward and to our delivering to the country, we would like to work with them. We have looked at developing our ability to be GMP compliant both here and in supplying vaccines to other parts of the world, both developed countries and African countries, and it's those kind of alliances that we will pursue. And we do not want to surrender our intellectual property, but we aren't isolationists in our thinking that where it is advantageous to us and the country to actually tap into other skills and technology, then we should do so where it helps us. So in that way we will pursue some of we are very pleased with the development of National Coupon Service, and that again puts a greater should we say discipline and one control on our ability to interact with outside parties.
Thank you very much, Dave. With your permission, Chairperson, I would like to combine question 8 with all around the emerging farmers, question 10, question 25, question 26, question 27, and question 30. They all revolve around emerging farmers, okay? With emerging farmers, how do we help them? How do we reach out for them? Currently, we are having a strategy document that is ready to be presented to the board in terms of how we want to intensify our involvement with the emerging farmers. I must say currently we do have talk shows. We have just signed with SABC some slots in African languages where we will be disseminating information to the farmers, because information and knowledge is actually power. So there will be those radio adverts and the talk shows. And we also have got two vacancies for the sales reps dedicated to the emerging farmers, one of which has already been filled in. And our marketing strategy will be having more emphasis to reach out to the people out in our rural areas. I might, however, ask the honorable members here that we do want to have those entrepreneurs in the deep rural areas who can also assist us by becoming the smaller distributors, so that they can distribute these products to their fellow farmers. We're trying our little best, but let's not forget the fact that the nature of our product, it must be in a refrigerated environment. Unless they've got that facility out there, it's not feasible to store that product there and still be profitable as a small entrepreneur. The next question is about animal health. Can you foresee the outbreak? Mr. Siana can help us on that one.
That was telling me that I suppose this vet should be an answer. We would be sitting with no need for COVID. But being that as it may, we know that the disease outbreaks are influenced by changes of weather, the rainfall, periodic rainfall, and things like that. And we are able to predict which diseases are likely to occur and outbreak will. But it's a given thing. It's a guesstimate. We can't even do a market intelligence on that, because these are natural cause diseases. And we are at a front end where we're talking about vaccination, not therapy. Therapy is easier to implement when the disease is there. But vaccination comes first, you know, before the disease is out there. So it is a give and take situation. But being that it's late, even when there has been an outbreak of these diseases, there are little ones which are born, and they need to be vaccinated, and that's where we start. So we are able to alleviate, you know, the problem, but not necessarily.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Siane. The next question here, I'm on question number 14. We need to have a mixture of male and female presenting here next time. Would you like to comment on this one, Mr. Siane?
Through the chairperson, members of committee, male and female representation. OPP, I have mentioned, and I'm going to talk on it, because it's important for us to have this grace in our head that we are in a situation of looking at OPP from the previous 5 years into the future. And the new OPP, the restructured OPP that started in March, the 1st of March, is in a process of ensuring that we have what they call the beneficial health kind of situation within the company that addresses our employment equity and is looking into this new and female representation. Being the chairperson of the board, I'm not going to be biased to women. I can't be, because that is the call of the country. But I will make it an effort of ensuring for continuity. The honorable comrades actually highlighted the issue of continuity, and I think we are into that, ensuring the fact that continuity will take place in OPP. In this form, we are looking at who do we have, because charity begins at home. Who do we have, and what are they made up of? And after that, we will remember that OPP comes from a government situation. It is a corporate board now. It's not, and it's no more operating like the structures of government and so on and so on. We need to be compliant to the requirements of the country
we need to be compliant as well to the needs of our status and as an NKT point company. That will be emphasized even beyond the requirements of NKT. That's why we are engaged in the in actually dealing with the act that has been treated before us. My answer is yes. We are sensitive to making clear in our presentation. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Walala. I would like to combine a number of questions with your permission, Chairperson, for our CFO. There's a question around explanation of variances, number 11, and there is also number 15 around the travel expenses increase, followed by the repairs and maintenance on the building. That is question number 16. Basically, those questions will be handled together.
Thank you, sir. The overall expenses of OVP is going to increase by 10% in the coming year, and that is made up of a couple of factors as included in the business plan. The major investment that we're going to make is that of R&D, and that is 3 million rand higher than the budget of the previous year. The fact that the travel expenses specifically have decreased from the previous year doesn't mean that we are investing less in there, but we had a look at the actual travel of the 2006-07 year, the current year that we're in, and the budget is in fact 500,000 rand higher than the current year in order for us to visit new countries. There is a couple of very exciting opportunities for OVP, and we need to go to those countries and investigate those. Then lastly, the repair and maintenance expenses. Yes, unfortunately, when the land and buildings were transferred to OVP, the cost of maintaining those buildings were also transferred to us. Before then, the Department of Public Works was responsible for the costs to maintain the buildings. So we have to account for those expenses from now on, and that also includes things like water and electricity that OEP was not responsible for in the past. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Question 18 and 19 for Ms. Shabalala is about Mrs. Shabalala. It's on the breakdown on the diversity profile and the featuring of R&D in the new structure. That is 18 and 19.
Thank you. Can I start with the easiest one, number 19? It is. It's a short one rather than easy. It's R&D, where is it in the structure? You note that in the new structure, it's here. Can you show the new structure? In the new structure, there is a position of the Chief Operations Officer. And that position of Chief Operations Officer is manned already by an extremely competent candidate, which was within OBT, who is a strong lion when it comes to issues pertaining to R&D. And within the same structure, there is a specific position of R&D who will be reporting under the Chief Operating Officer. And the board did that deliberately to ensure that we have complement of both senior management and the management level. I think that answers my question. Thank you.
Thank
you. That is the short one, and one that needs a detailed information is the first about skills development. This is not a new request by the Honorable Committee, and Chairperson, I think we are very happy to report to the committee that We have a program in place. It starts in-house because we need to know the skills that are in-house and actually make sure that those skills are the skills that are going to go into the market, South African market, and groom the community regarding everything that OPC is doing. We are going to categorize in different categories. One that will be addressing the matter of skills within OPC so that we are able to produce properly and have relevant vaccines as the committee has presented. The other category is going to be saying in the country we do have that veterinary doctors who have just completed their education. We cannot be able to house them in OPC, but we will share information with them whether they are in their own businesses and whether they are sitting at home and working for somebody else. We are going to make sure that that is actually set up by the OPC structure to make sure that they understand about animal health. Other than that, we also are looking at addressing the issues of poverty alleviation programs that we will engage in with our partners that we are looking at. We talked about the issue of collaboration. The collaboration that we were talking about is local and international. We look at page 13 of the slides that we presented. Under expenses, right down there, some R&D are sourced to OVI and SA universities and international. We'll take advantage of those internationals and the OVIs of the world within the country to make sure that we address the issue of skills within South Africa. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Shabalala. Another combination for Mr. Siane, number 20. When we're working with the outside companies acquiring products, under what conditions do we do that? Another one was about the barriers to entry. What are those barriers?
Thank you, sir. I will tackle the barriers to entry. I think in the response to that, it addresses this barrier to entry. There's definitely no tangible barrier that one can do that. It really has to do with our, and I'm heading towards the question of looking at it from a different angle. It has to do with our education system, etc. There must be career practice and career influence right from the high school to get children to go into the training, education in science and mathematics, and being made aware of the opportunities which this line of training can actually put them through. And I don't think this happens to a large extent. To some degree, because some pick it up when they get to the secondary institution and ultimately find themselves either as a vet or a biotechnologist or a biochemist or a microbiologist, because the core work hand in hand to make sure that the institutions like OBC generate what they are supposed to. For OBC, what we are doing is raising awareness through benefits and funding the students who are interested in the line, which is linked to what we do. And we are also hoping that with the linkages that we are intending to make with the rural areas, that will also bring awareness, you know, to the children and also influence them to take a line of training and education which would end up contributing to the institutions in which I like to be.
Thank you, Mr. Siane. Okay, the number 21, I think that has been covered there. Suffice to say that the strategy document will be with the board. I can move on from that one. Another question was about the animal health. To our people, is our focus right? We're going overseas. The answer here basically is that the government-to-government relationship, we've got the business community that goes out into other countries to bring in those paid relationships. And the nature of our product is that there is opportunities out there. If you look at the split of our sales, 93 million rand, only 31 is export. Therefore, our focus is in-house. However, that does not mean that we cannot seize opportunities that are presented by the market and the effort of our own government when they go out there signing the memorandum of understanding. If you can add value, you should do so. And don't forget the fact that we are a self-sustaining entity. Therefore, every opportunity that presents itself, we have to seize. Another question number 28, was about, do we want to move into human medicine? The mention of human health, the way I look at it is that we are in animal health, and some of those animals are edible animals. Therefore, we do in fact protect the human lives out there. However, when you are a business, you need to have a dream to say, how big is the field in which we are operating, to the extent that we may interface with the medicine fraternity in terms of our discoveries. They say some of the discoveries were by accident. We could be doing something in the animal health which can benefit the health of the human beings. We cannot just isolate ourselves and say, no, we are just dealing with animal health. That is the spirit in which we want to explore other avenues within the vaccine environment.
When they take these issues, so that means that people have an animal, they are still experiencing something, we can end up learning to be a human being. And we're having HIV/AIDS now, we've got experiment something from the baboon or something.
Another question has been answered in some form about when we are doing the outsourcing, do we ever evaluate between outsourcing things locally? Definitely, for sure. We do what we call cost analysis for us to be able to decide whether we outsource the product or we do it locally. First price is to do it locally because we pay job opportunities locally. We don't earn poverty in our country. However, those are the cases where it would be too expensive and we can't even sell the product. Therefore, in that case, we may engage outsourcing possibilities. But it is a thought through its process. Chairperson, thank you very much.
And I'm still saying, Chairperson, thank you very much for listening to us.
I don't know what the difficulties we had in the last few months, but we came up there, they were very excited.
Can you thank you for inviting us to lunch? We have been for an area for a flight. Thank you very much. And thanks for the
invitation.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Promotional marketing.
But she made less. The leader's
Thank you.
same server. We are training our
team. Mama, this is a mama with a shambok.
That makes you believe that there are the same purification when there is not where both ones, international and local. Or is the overseas one? But you seem to think that you'll be able to increase that as well.
We are aware of our role in South Africa to assist in Africa.
Yeah, Kalash, you got to run the India restriction. Yeah, there are many languages around that. Then, but to be a cinema, I'm a bad state. Something at the Melbourne, the Bergo Blind, and the CEO. I admire you. I'm not going to be able to do anything.
Who's a counselor as well, and then I have Norman Keller, who's our chief financial officer. So the delegation, of course. The presentation will be led by our CEO, Salaman Dulana. I also have Goran Daba, who's the assistant, who's also a counselor.
Over four sessions, we can't do the same like a session for them. The second issue that we debated was the review of the health community environment and the report we wanted some information on. I would like to report that that report has been submitted to the movement as part of the process. But we hope that that will be done. The second thing at the end say a little bit about the project that is very, very important and what we're talking about. I would like to repeat that again, our strategic plan was not guided by the current MedTech. The Minister for African Agriculture, the Draft Transfer Commission for Agriculture, as well as the I'd like to go into some of the highlights of the year that is coming now. We, as you know, we did somewhat in terms of market intelligence. There are a number of studies that we have undertook looking at monitoring development in existing markets that has to be sell to South Africa, as well as work that to help the cultural sector in the direction of our region. We did work for looking at comparing South Africa, India, not so in terms of trading relationships. We have done routine work looking at social exports into Russia, did some work in terms of exports into Africa. Some of these reports have been presented in front of the committee, and I have some questions we took advice from the portfolio policy that we need to do a lot more work on the economy system and created what we call the market and economy system. We took the document that we had that was pretty conform and we have into the center. And some of the work that has come out in that special study, some of them we had the last night. We did a number of Section 7 investigations. I'll touch on the first of these Section 7 investigations going forward. We continue doing work on the food price monitoring. The last time we were here, we spoke about the not food price monitoring, but the urban food price monitoring is very much a reference to food price monitoring, and we continue doing that work. I've provided a table on the interrelated stuff that was collected and the amount of money that was used to support the emerging sector in the process of the next process. All in all, we are relatively satisfied in terms of the success rate in terms of the information. There are certain industries that need a lot more attention, but we are relatively satisfied in terms of the data collection. I provided a table that talks about management and control of the LNC, the share of the control of the system. The attempt has been extended for 3 more months. We have a strong management team that is responsible for the investigation. In terms of the program for the year going forward, we are basically continuing to implement and some of the programs that we started. So we continue to grow the market economic system. We have set it up, the programs are clear, and I think what needs to be done going forward is to build some level of respect and coordination of the process of the change. I provide examples that highlight the R&D scope and nature of the census. I will go through some of the R&D focus area, but most of this I will pass when we go through some of the problems. Area in terms of competitiveness, an area of trade, there's an area in terms of making farmers market, the application of the various aspects and sanitary designs, the outreach program, as well as English program. If you remember just a few slides back, I indicated that we started at 10 10, we are cooking 3.4 million that was meant for research, where you have increased that proportion for 3 million years. Again, the funding will be dedicated to research that will help us grow that will help us grow our numbers and change the direction of our trade. Let me go into the trade focus area within Google. We started last year supporting a number of partners. We support and support the BIPAP trade, the BIPAP trade model, which is based on the Department of Agriculture support the provide model through strategy model. We support the GSEC model through pilot, and from our office we are developing a special equilibrium model. To give you a good example would be if you take biofuels as an example, and you say that what is the impact of biofuels in the economy, you will use an econometric model to analyze them. But when you say what is the impact of biofuels produced out of maize, in specific provinces that produce maize, you will use a CG model. And when you say what is the impact of biofuels on a certain plant that is produced in a specific province, so you need all of these models to be able to answer some of the questions that before were not able to ask, and I'm confident that you will have positive numbers if there is any trade question that comes out in the world.
Just like the
zero for food and agricultural production. We will continue doing work on trade intelligence. The last time we came, the committee advised that we should bring in people who understand macro medicine.
Am I the only one who doesn't understand the these other acronyms, like SALAC and CCAG? I think I know provide. I think they could be a glossary of this, and abbreviation.
The role for food and agricultural policy.
ESAC,
the role for food and agricultural policy. To the research center by the University of Florida. CSAT is the role for food and agricultural policy.
Yes.
That is the research center at the University of Victoria. Chief, that is general. Agricultural program. So it's computer models. Color is color before she said trade law center, so it's a research center based at the University of Toronto. Provide is just a project. They call it Project Provide. It doesn't have a specific acronym, but it's based in the Department of Agriculture in the Western Cape.
So what we'll do is we'll write down all of it and understand that
and explain it to you right there about.
Yes, we'll explain it to you first.
I'm sitting in China with my family, politicians, and the state. We've got our own politicians.
The other key focus area within the market and commercial sector is and really we still believe that we are trying to say that as culture we need to change the direction of our trade. We still believe that we are selling a lot of our mainly fresh produce in Europe, and we should move that to the mainland of Europe. We have identified those countries in that region that has a cost of over $5,000, and we would like to do a lot more like this year in those countries. Some of the countries that we have identified and we do a lot more research work on is India, Vietnam, Kazakhstan, Iran, Bangladesh, and Oman. However, we continue to support industry in understanding and maintaining access to those markets. We do that through consumer research, marketing. We will continue to have an academic support program where we support PhD students. We will support a student in University of KZN, two in University of KZN, one in Stellenbosch, one in Venda, and one in working from Stellenbosch but attached to university in Belgium called GEN. These are black students that we believe are very and add inwards in areas that the energy does not and we believe in add value to the who will find a good additional students in the member. Last year we spoke about the fresh produce market education program, and the indication was that it is one thing just writing a report, but you need to actually make sure that it will be implemented. The minister signed off on the report that will be fresh produce, and now the challenge is to order out. The first issue in doing that is to constitute the current Special Service Committee. Then secondly, going forward, is engagement with DPMG and SALDA in terms of them buying into the support team, not that they're owned by the municipality. And there are a number of acts that we need to do to manage to implement. One of them will be a Cultural Products Agency Act, the Cultural Products Standards Act, and various municipal bylaws that we need. And this executes to test the Special Committee to do and to do. We will continue to support the Agriculture Economic Association of South Africa, as well as the Maltin Market Meta program. These to us are key because we are able to test some of the policy issues that we are coming up with, and we are able to engage the Agriculture Economic Society in advice on how to roll out for the program. We have an active benchmark program that has started. Initially, we're doing what it says, in various subsectors, and then advising on the competitiveness. But we thought we should also do what in terms of on-farm competitiveness, where you compare a farmer, let's say, maize farmer in South Africa to a maize farmer in another country, and figuring out what is it that other countries are doing in terms of improving their competitiveness. And that's what we'll be able to advise farmers and the government and the farmers. So the active benchmark is to that. The two products that we started to be grain and beef and also going forward. We have provided a list of some of the electronic research papers that we have in the library. And I believe some of them have been submitted that have been developed through the research committee. There are a whole host of other activities that we pursue to do. Most of them we have discussed before, so I'm not going to go over you. Under enterprise development, there are a number of key activities that you need to do. Marketing schemes, various farmer support models, the growing the agri, growing the database of making enterprises, export promotion, realignment, to give an example of some of the summer things, some of the schemes. The one key scheme that we will launch this year is the summer training scheme. It's a scheme that will run through various conferences. We have been able to secure some funding through the names and all the parts. And the target is to support 5,000 less grain farmers over the 5-year period. The focus area in those will be mainly into cost insurance, mentorship, initial source preparation, as well as providing temporary post-harvest grain storage. There are other three schemes being super livestock first produce market that at this stage we haven't been able to secure some funding for. Once we finalize the design of those, we'll be able to secure funding and control the action. Last year we had an artificial technical assistance fund of about 800,000 and we're able to access a certain number of farmers. We have increased that to 2 million this year. And again, we have seen increased farmers for some time. And digital measures, this is the area that we have been involved in investigations, record and intent, conducting of food, and providing a lot of instruction to provide the process to the guys and colleagues. there are a number of investigations that were all undertaken where was the state application for it. And that's at least seven different. In terms of our budget, we had put in a budget of about 50 million that the minister put. An improvement and a big chunk of it has gone to operational expenses as compared to the situation where it has been different. We will continue to have the necessary committees that to ensure that we are here to further regulate the CFNA, and then those committees will stay and ensure that the organizations are transformed. We have provided at the back of the strategic plan a table that highlights the targets that were set. That they are smart and will be able to push people to actually achieve and hopefully achieve the success. There are a number of emerging issues that we are hoping that we will discuss. We are trying to reduce that for the redrafting of the Marketing Act. We believe that as a country we need to figure out how we cost our industry and government cost share for some of the key activities such as research, trade promotion, academic support, and hopefully over time we can come up with policy on how we do that. And we have put in hopefully we can have a discussion in terms of how we as the LNP work through the provisional, the provision department, as well as other local structures that we can work through in terms of reaching our farmers and in terms of supporting farmers. Thank you very much, John. I don't know if you can do more.
I could maybe add a few more thoughts. The one is our concerns initially the last time that we visited this year, I think to a large extent were addressed, and as Chair, I must also thank you for your deliberations there. There's still some areas of vagueness in terms of who the NMC reports to. And the relationship between the NMC and the Department of Agriculture is vacant as to what the division of responsibility is there. But I think that will be clarified now. The question is still, does the NMC has come from a history of a preoccupation with statutory measures? And we try to shift that as we might gain from this submission. But we've paid attention to a number of other areas. If I could put it succinctly, what we're trying to position the NMC for is to be more or increasingly a center of market intelligence for industry and for government. And you also see from the report what we're trying to do is there are a couple of critical questions or areas that must be addressed. The first is there isn't sufficient capacity in our country amongst trade economists to be planning the future of trade for ourselves. What we've done there was all these bursaries and things that we hear about is really about training the next cadre of young trade economists who are going to guide the trade intelligence for our industry. So we try and choose the smartest kids we can find at universities and make sure they do research in this area of trade, international trade and marketing, and then career path them hopefully through the NMC. So the between 5 and 10 people that you see, that's the strategy. Part of what we've also done there was we've identified people in the world that we should be working with. And the first guy that we started this with was a New Zealander who used to be chief economist for the Department of Agriculture in New Zealand. And we're doing a lot of research with him in South Africa. But part of what he does is he trains these young economists in South Africa on South African issues. Some of the research papers you see have come from that. A lot of attention there goes to this issue of what is trade intelligence. Firstly, we have very little sense of which countries should we be promoting trade with and which countries not. I have my own apprehensions about whether the trade protocol with China is necessarily good for us. I mean, I can make a good argument for you why it is not good for us. It will be disastrous for us in the long term, but I mean, that's not the topic here. The issue is, I don't think we know which countries we must be trading with and which countries we should avoid trading with. The research that we've now started says, look into the world, which countries there are, you look at what you're selling to them, and then you look into what could they be buying from you that they're not buying from you. This is part of the work that we're doing. And once you've done that analysis, you can then say, I should be having bilateral trade agreements with the following countries, and then go and set up those protocols, trade agreements. The other area is part of the trade intelligence is to say, where is the quality scope where we can still support, if I can use that term, our industry within the WTO provisions. We've not been very clever in using the WTO provisions to our advantage. In a number of industries, we are way below the boundaries that they've allowed us. So again, we're not intelligent in using the policy scope that the WTO and others provide us with and position our trade cleverly in that regard. So we're doing this research, we started research to look at where is the policy scope and how do we take advantage of this and then advise industry in that regard. We also want to pay more attention to the issue of realigning these industry trusts. We're currently doing some investigations into the wool industry and what happened to the wool bulk money there. We're doing some investigations into the South African wine industry trust and how the money was spent there and so on. And we just finished an audit on the South African wine industry trust, and we are fairly uncomfortable with how the money is being spent or not. And it's basically because we should probably take some blame ourselves, but we should have given stronger guidance to those industry bodies as to what the national priorities are and how it can and cannot be spent. One last issue I could mention is this issue of trade administration. There's an idea that trade administration, international trade administration for agriculture should lie with agriculture. Because agriculture is a special case in the WTO, it caused the collapse of the WTO. So we must treat agriculture as a special case. But that means that BPI and ICAN should not be primarily responsible for deliberating on agricultural trade matters. But agriculture should do that. And we can still liaise with them and make our proposals through those lines, given that they have the competency. But we want to create that capacity within agriculture. The MMC is positioned for that. I could maybe say something with regards to the Marketing Review Committee, but this purpose here is the MMC. I think the Minister did appoint me to head up this Marketing Review Committee. I could maybe then just ask that the proposals of the Marketing Review Committee are going to profoundly change the way we look at agricultural marketing, including the changing of the Marketing Act. So at some stage, should you wish, I'd be really happy to share those recommendations and findings with you. We just concluded the report about a month ago, and we do see them.
Thank you.
During the presentation, you already had your hand up. So, I think
that's it. It's a nice one. Thank you. Thank you again for coming and here and giving us some of your overviews. I was very impressed with the documents that you've done in terms of research. And in your comments, Professor, I do sympathize with you in terms of the position that you are in at the moment, because it seems to me that the Agricultural Marketing Council is funded by government, but it doesn't listen to it. That's the impression that I get. There's a lot of documentation coming out, but in real effect, but we do not see that really implemented. If I look, and I'll be short, sir, if I just look at how can South Africa exploit new opportunities in agricultural export markets, and I look at the conclusions of that fact, it is not very good that we learned any lessons out of it, and that we have positioned ourselves from what has happened in other countries, so that we can really get our agricultural, and our agriculture is vulnerable due to climate, due to markets, and due to the fact that we do not have the right sympathy for the agriculture in South Africa. And the emphasis in agriculture has gone to small farms, whereas the economy in the world is due to larger economies. So how do we position? And this is now, when I come to my question, is how do you see the future of agriculture within the dimensions of government pointing South agriculture in a certain direction, and you have the economics of the world and within South Africa? How do you balance this? How are we going to get? Because we cannot leave reform out of the picture. It has to be part of this picture. But where do you see, how do we get the commercial sector, the developing sector in the type of direction? And I think that's absolutely important that we look at that. Then the other question in terms of food prices, the fact that we did not utilize the levies to protect the imports of lower priced foods from outside, and especially processed foods, and now that the surplus in the world is diminishing and food prices outside South Africa is rising, didn't we shoot ourselves in the foot by not making use of the levies at the right stage? And then in terms of the experiences of other countries, deregulation started more or less in the 90s, where we got rid of the control boards, where help to farmers in terms of started disappearing from the budgets. The countries that did that too in the past, instead of spending the money on subsidies, spent that rather on research and development and on marketing. To what extent have we left behind, and what is the real need that we have? Because that is why you are now faced with these statutory boards now taking money from their own products, funding research. Isn't that really a function that the state should do in terms of supplying infrastructure and marketing of it, as opposed to that the industry itself has to fund this with the limited means that it has at disposal? I can continue, but I'm very interested. But thank you for this work. I think it's excellent, and please continue with this. I find it very interesting and absolutely important. Thank you.
Thank you,
Chair,
and thank you for the
presentation.
I think you have mentioned that you have created a market and economic research center, and in collaboration with industry and other donors. Can you enlighten us who the other donors up to the value of 3.4 million? And then my second question is your academic support program At this stage, you mentioned five possible schemes for within the market, the Dr. Pidgey. Are they also going to be recruited to study at the same university as you mentioned?
This academic support program, has it been researched somewhere with regards to its reliability, dependability, and also sustainability?
Thank you, Chairperson. Just two questions for today. The first one will be on the issue of taking credit. We have small emerging farmers in our country, based in our homeland, the so-called homeland, which sometimes after harvesting they don't have that much. Have you looked into that market, into the domestic market for them? Especially in relation to the rabbit bodies, the wool board, maize board, potato board, fish food board, all these boards which are dealing with the marketing of those particular things. So have we looked into how to engage with them and open up a particular market for those people? You talked about changing the direction of our trade, maybe sort of diverging from the EU to this country that you have listed here. I think partly I'm answered because I wanted to know how does the WTO agreement affect this particular thing. And secondly, we have good land beneficiaries, of which most of them are semi-skilled or unskilled. Is there a vehicle to train these people to understand even the domestic market? What is happening to the colleges, the agricultural colleges that we had before, like also UCL, Mpumalanga Agricultural College, and many others? Can they be used as a vehicle maybe to train these unskilled incoming new farmers to understand what is it that you're talking about? If you're talking about the market, how to store, how to do, all these other changes. And lastly, you talk about comparing different quality instruments. Now, the competition is global. You find that, let me just say you go to Australia to look at their quality instruments. Is there no danger of the asymmetric information? You get there, they give you a little bit of information, but not everything. And you come back, we are aware comparing to that particular information that we've got. Yes, it's not the full information that we want us to have. How will that then affect the changes that we want to make in the marketing structure and in the change of policy to address the issue of the market? Yeah, let me stop now. I'm going to see that.
Thank you. Okay, John, thank you.
Thank you for the presentation. And then the interview with you to share, I am interested in the idea, the academic support program, which is going to end up having our universities as the focus of intelligence. And that this is going to minimize the budget of the department having to go for consultants, you know, researchers and all that. We'll be having a pool to draw from. But when I'm looking at the numbers appear to be few. I'd like to know from them that it is not possible for them to make an addition. We are looking at the fact that the budget has been, you know, increased reasonably. Can the numbers of these students not be added? And then when maybe do we anticipate a situation where when they come before this committee and say we have not employed any consultants, we are doing this from our own resources, which are being used.
Thank you.
Yeah, sometimes I only get one when my comments cry really.
Brother cry.
Congratulations on the good work done by the staff. You see, once you are congratulated by cry, I get worried what you are doing, what you are supposed to be, or you are going to help for the direction. Because they always ever go going to direction those for the platform to criticize government. So I'm getting worried when the coordinator is really happy and they're congratulating about, which I would say, no, I cannot do that. Because you just have a problem. Obviously, you don't know who to report. You know, you must raise that issue. Which I get worried when you say you don't know whom to report. Because if you look at your strategy plan on page 7, you are saying on paragraph 5.1.2, one of the charter expects the NMC to create this issue. Do they mean that, and also in terms of your appointment as a person on page 6, you are appointed by the Council of the Culture by the Minister of Health, which supposes that you know who you are. So if you're going to tell us here that there's a confusion, you don't know who to report to, you get worried about that. Maybe because I live in part of the past, I'm just checking what you have said now. It's about the confusion in terms of the particular area. The other issue is that before coming to the document, that's where you're in terms of your diversity mind. You talk about which countries to trade with. I thought that the trade industry and other four departments, before they go to the country, they do some research. So are we really going to make impact if we take country A and country B and country C? For example, yesterday I think the president was in Benin. Yeah, I was in Benin or something. Where did Benin have invited the business for a private sector to come invest in Benin? And I thought it's part of the OAU strategy to say
let's make sure that we see the Africa as a continent. We do feel the African country before we jump to other countries, so that we have this one for this one for this resistant minister that we can put something forget. But as of today, we need to make sure that Africa has picked up, making sure that we do things among ourselves. Particularly within the Catholic countries, because it's not taking always refers to Europe and other countries. But anyway, you also talk about China. You question in terms of the statement. You say you don't seem to be very viable for us.
Is that a reason for China? I agree with you.
You see, I'm not sure whether I understand you well. Maybe just make that statement as a general statement without addressing us to say, what are your problems with the Research Council to say, I may have a problem with this, as long as I forget what this business is, country A, country B, country C. Which I think may be also a crucial service of your understanding where you are coming from. Because in this case, you don't know where you are coming from. You can't say it ourselves. That's the thing we should say, fine. This is what you think. And sort of assist us in terms of that capacity. You talk about the trade agreement. You also question some of the trade agreement. We should have time, but we don't have time today. I would really want to engage you on say, please use the system in terms of your. Or our witness, the government, to say, fine, we've got these trade agreements, country A, country B, country C. And in terms of those agreements, we are not achieving what we're supposed to achieve as a country. You also raise the question of that we're not taking advantage of these trade agreements. Also, those two statements to me are very striking that they need to be unpacked. So that I have to begin to understand exactly what are the supposed or what are you supposed to mean. I'm not going to deal with your examples of religious tea, wine, whatever. Then compatibility with how the money spent. I'm not going to go through that. I think begin to unpack this, but of course we're going to understand that one of our women says that we may call this institution on a cinnamon basis if we need to be. So that some of the things are being unpacked. So that we understand exactly what are you trying to say in terms of those areas. The WTO issue. Of course, there's no doubt about the fact that the WTO collapse has got a tremendous impact, which is not only on South Africa, but the whole Africa in terms of that particular issue. Because you may be aware that these discussions are taking place at that level. The first world countries, they are protecting their own interests and benefits in the world of. How do we then ourselves making sure that we position ourselves in such a way that we should not be in a very disadvantaged situation in terms of those? I believe that they are going to revise or stop. I don't know how at what stage, but I think America has made some sort of commitment to assist. Though they are just talking, just a talk show, they are just talking. Nothing to do. But the Americans, they're both, wherever you go, whatever you can do with America, they always America stuff, whether you like it or not. But that one is foregone to be. I'm not saying I don't have to trust those who are living in that area, but I can tell you, the Americans, there's nothing to do with America. That's why sometimes some of the other countries, they are moving to the East Africa, East Asia, to make sure that they establish that particular block. And I'm sure that is why you have got your India, Australia, I don't know, India, Brazil, and South Africa, those trio. It's like you say, how can three of us come together to assist this country? I don't know how far we can go. But having said that, let me come back to your first step. My second question is on page 5 of the strategy plan. In terms of your draft constitution charter for agriculture, you are saying the LNC is continuing to reshape the transformation agenda, reshape and align the transformation agenda of trust that the state fund through the closure of control board. I think they try making that part, or trust that currently collected. You need to expand to us, say, how are you intending to reshape that? How to make sure that those labels that are collected are going to assist the profit that's supposed to be associated with that, part. To go further and turn to Africa, to say,
Satya Reddy and Shaw Bhattacharya is able to halve unemployment and poverty. I always laugh when it comes to these issues. Because the growth that you always refer to as a growth is a sort of quantity. It doesn't tally with the halving. That we don't want to have on that we are at the economy. Confirm that the growth of the economy does not fit the permanent job. That growth is a growth which is always fueled to the private sector, whether they make money, nothing else. That is why you have using the machines to not use the human beings. Because in the 90s, when you're talking about increasing some of your for 2.5 to 6% between 2010 and 2014. I'm still not convinced that even if we go to 6%, we are going to make sure that we have unemployment. I'm not convinced. For the private sector, whatever it is. But even if the economy, as we have been saying, that is going even now, most jobs that have been created are either payroll jobs, or seasonal jobs, or part-time jobs. There are no jobs that are paid to make sure that they are sustainable in the other people. I'm not sure whether it's ever going to refer to how can you address that in a particular way. Some data or steps. How have we been able to link those emerging farmers to the market? And how market is responding to those emerging farmers? The reason for this issue is that most of the emerging farmers was they have their livelihood of course. Most of the emerging farmers, they don't really get market and help market. Even those farmers that have been taken by the new farmers from your guys, friends and others. The market that is dealing with that farmer, when this new farmer comes in, then that market withdraws, and goes to somewhere else. And there's no sort of a transition, from the previous commercial farmer A to the new farmer B. Whatever business is done between the old farmer A, then at the end of the day, farmer B is trapped in his own value. For nobody wants to buy from farmer B. I don't know why, to make sure that what is exactly a problem in terms of our facility. The last question for now, if your FAU news then comparative status on effects of the regulation, honestly, this study we can give you a copy of some of these so that we are able in our south to get a plan to say how did you come and ever complete in terms of this particular system so that we can also help us in terms of our policy. Thanks for that. The food price monitoring. This is very important. Guys, I think when it came before, I don't know, 3 years or 3 years, I can't remember where. When we raise these issues, and how do you monitor these prices? You said in terms of your central rural food price that are from identified rural stores and farmers. I don't know whether this thing that came out yesterday, two days ago, it's at the time, around the two supermarkets, your shop price and checkers, it's a business, whatever, where they were, in fact, those things were identified or posed by Sunday Times. That is why those supermarkets have to withdraw those in their shelves. I don't know what the role you play in that environment. Because in terms of this monitoring, I really thought that maybe the market council or the third party, whatever you call the farm and other institutions, they are able to detect these things before they are being exposed as the media somehow. I don't know what is your role there. I'm not sure whether you also deal with that issue or not. If not, that's fine. But so that at the end of the day, we know, you see, well, I can tell you, how many people have bought that thing by now? You see, what people are going to have those people that have bought that thing from the supermarket? And besides, you have to say that this is about 2 or 3 years ago, they exposed this thing, and they were taken off the shelf. A year or 2 years into black and the shelf, okay, they exposed it the second time. Then they are asking, what government is doing about that? Because the consumers out there, they are looking to the government to protect the consumers. If the government are unable to protect the consumers, who is going to protect them? In a sense, of
course. Thank you, sir. I do not know, sir, whether or at what stage is the committee going to be presented formally this report of the committee to review the agricultural marketing environment. Because if you look at this document together with these others, there's a great deal of information here. There are alarming statements about our state of trade internationally, so far as agriculture is concerned. Because some of the findings are questioning the wisdom of the stances that we took as government. For instance, things like we were rather too enthusiastic in deregulating our agriculture, even beyond the requirements of the WTO and things like that. I think it's going to be important for us to have time for this report to be interrogated by ourselves upon presentation by the people who prepared it. But nonetheless, I would like to find out from the NAMCL2 who represents the culture when these trade agreements are entered into between our country and other countries. I know that they tend to be led by the Department of Trade and Industry. But it does appear to me as if we don't have a strong representation in those things, because we always end up having the bad end of the pitch, if that's such a thing. And what role does the NAMC play in those activities, like the entering of the trade agreement with other countries? Thank you.
Thank you very much. My questions are going on that slide where mentioned where the heading is agribusiness technical African farm. My first question, Chair Person, would be, are they able to give the percentage of the farmers who benefited out of that 2 million, because that is the only amount which from which the farmers benefited? My second question would be, what sort of technical help are they giving to the farmers? Can we be a little bit specific to say we help them with ABCD? My third one would also need to sort of specificity on cost sharing basis with agribusiness. So when they do these projects or programs, they must share with the farmers. So can they sort of give us the percentage? Because if the amount required is 100, how much must the farmer pay? How much must they pay? The last one, the black-owned agribusiness will be assisted through existing industry. How are they assisted?
Chair, could I slip in one question, which I, and that is just to ask whether the Agricultural Marketing Council is present on the DTI Levy Committee, or are they present there, or who represents agriculture there? Have they got any input whatsoever on that committee?
agrees on very heavy questions that you ask. I feel like a bit of a fisherman, but I've put a bait onto this line that I cast, and I think we took the bait.
Hook, line, and sinker.
Because, and why I say that is, the NNC has got, neither in the Marketing Act or any other instruction given to it, has got any instruction or competence to deal with the in the area of international trade. We've somehow separated domestic markets and international markets, and there was an understanding in government, including at the ministry level, that the NNC must deal with domestic issues, which meant the trust, meant the statutory levies, but not international trade. And in the Department of Agriculture, there was a division for international trade, which I think at this point consists of two, maximum three people, who handle the affairs there, and these are relatively junior people. So I'm saying these things about trade because it is a big concern, and a third of your questions I think related to that issue. If I can start addressing some of those questions, some of them obviously overlap. The issue about the South African New Zealand study is somewhat related to this issue of how do we compare to other countries post deregulation. What we found in across the world, the countries who deregulated from the mid-90s onwards, those who were fastest to deregulate stood to gain quicker. And the fastest were New Zealand, Australia, Brazil, Argentina, Chile, South Africa. Now, if we compare ourselves to those countries, there is one big difference between us and them. And the difference is agreeable. They spent more money on research and marketing. But if I could put it more succinctly, they changed the composition and the direction of their trade significantly to us. South Africa, we still export what we exported 100 years ago, and we still send it to the same country. What New Zealand, for example, did was they changed the composition of their trade, so they didn't export the old stuff. They changed that, and they export new stuff to new markets. And their shift has been, for example, out of Europe into the Far East. The Chileans have done the same. They shifted big time into Europe, for example, where we were much stronger than they were, but they've taken our market share to a large extent. I could say the same for Argentina, I can say the same for Brazil. We've not done that. We've stuck largely with our European focus, and a little bit to the US. Now, if you look from a marketing point of view, in the world, basically, and I'm oversimplifying here, you've got consumption in the north. Of the 6 billion people in the world, 5 billion of them live in the northern hemisphere, and 1 billion in the southern hemisphere. So you have consumption in the north, and production is shifting out of the north to the south, which is why Brazil, Argentina, Chile, ourselves, Australia, New Zealand have become larger producers. Our competitors have changed where they're sending their stuff to. Now in the north, you can send it to one of four markets. You can send it to the US, to Europe, you can send it to Japan. And then the whole area between Japan and Europe, which is near and Middle East. Now, again, if I oversimplify, the US market is saturated. We can't send more, not easily. And the European market, we definitely can't send more product there. The Far Eastern market, the New Zealanders and the Australians are much quicker to us into those markets. It's just too far for us. So if we want to grow in international trade, we must grow in the market between Europe and the Far East. Somewhere between Beijing and Istanbul is the market that we must grow. Now, 2 billion people live in those markets. But we've not changed our direction of trade. I've just come back from India 2 weeks ago to look at the growth in the cross-border industry. They're establishing 6,000 supermarkets in the next 2 years. And we're not selling the efficiency. So there are opportunities, but those countries did it consciously. We did not make those conscious decisions. And the finding from this marketing review committee is that when we deregulated, we did deregulation was successful because it meant taking away the laws, and that was easy. The problem was, at the same time, trade liberalization happened, which means a globalized world and everybody can trade with everybody, and we didn't play that game well enough. So we didn't decide consciously where do we want to go, develop the market intelligence, set our stuff there. We don't have trade attachments in those markets at all. We've got one in the east, we've got one who sits, I think, in Beijing. And the markets where we must be, we don't know anything about them. There are three South African companies who send fruit to the markets that I'm talking about. And all of those fruit go into Iran, and to Bangladesh, to big world. So we haven't changed our direction or composition of our trade. And that's where they've beaten us to. And that's also what the New Zealand South Africa study exactly concludes. You asked me the question about who do we trade with and what is it that I have to say about the China agreement and about trade agreements and bilateral trade and so on. Let me use the China example. And again, I shouldn't be talking with the NNC because I don't have a competency to talk about international trade. But it's so important, and you can't have a marketing body for agriculture that doesn't look at trade. But I'll give you my argument on China. China is the biggest producer of fruit and vegetables in the world. Only problem is all of it is itself. But very quickly, I've been there, there are many South African consultants who tell them how to farm with ostrich and proteas and everything else. So very quickly, within the next 10 years, mark my words, China will be a net exporter of most of the things that we export. Now, if you enter into an agreement with a country like China, you're saying to China, we will send you travel bags, like you said now, and then you can send us anything, and the agreement is, except we're going to put limitations on textiles, and I'm not sure if the other one is machinery, but some industrial thing. Now, anything else can come from China. And if you think carefully about China and you understand international trade, you know China don't only sell textiles and those other things. They sell everything. Two-thirds of everything in this room is probably from China in any case. So, the reciprocal trade... The reciprocal trade from China will kill us. Mm-hmm. It will kill our agriculture because already we have Chinese apples here. Already, very soon we'll have Chinese table grapes. Not long from now we'll have Chinese wines and so on. And we've not anticipated those things in the agreement. But China's accession to the WTO says, when they agreed to become part of the WTO, there's an article in that agreement, Article 16, that says, if China enters into a trade agreement with any other country, you've got the right to limit their imports to your country to a much larger extent than we have. But we've not done that. And the part that we forget about China is that not everything that we import from China comes from China. It comes via Hong Kong, which is a different country. And we don't have an agreement with Hong Kong. So it's easy for China, if we do limit their imports from China, so this can be via Hong Kong. But not, this is where you have to start thinking tactically about trade. And not just say, it's nice to have a trade protocol with a country. Because we've not assess and analyze what the reciprocal trade is that we're getting from them. And as a result, we'll find that a lot of our capital in this country will go to China, and very little of Chinese capital will come into our country. So you have a big international trade, you call it a leak effect, a big leak effect of our capital into those markets. The Chinese, I think, are laughing behind our backs that we've made this agreement now. We must make an agreement with China. I don't say you can't have an agreement with China, but we have to be much more clever about how we make these agreements. And that means anticipating which countries you want bilateral with. And the country you want, the collapse of the WTO has meant two things. It means countries will depend on bilateral trade increasingly, one-on-one. It secondly means that world trade will be governed from here onwards through trade disputes. And you see the number of trade disputes that go through the WTO and all the commissions that they have. Now, we've not even learned how to the art of taking trade disputes through the WTO tribunals. So, I think we're just sitting back and not thinking tactically and cleverly about these things. The issue about regional trade, for example, of course, it's good to have a trade agreement with Benin or with Namibia or any of these countries. The fact is, it is not in South Africa's advantage, because already the trade balance is in our favor. They import much more from us than we import there. So, and that's going to happen whether you have a trade agreement or don't have a trade agreement. The issue about trading within Africa must be based on building the regional state. That in future, the political boundaries between countries are going to fade and the economic boundaries are going to be strengthened. So Walmart is soon to enter South African market. Within the next 3 years, they'll be here. And that economic boundary of Walmart, we've got a GDP that's probably 6 times the GDP of this country, if not more. Those boundaries are going to be strengthened. The only way you can contend with it is build a stronger regional state. But we don't have enough capacity within South Africa to deal with trade issues. The NAMC doesn't have any representation on ITAC at the DTI or any forum that deals with agricultural trade. We can send one very junior staff member to the agricultural trade forum. That's where agricultural trade issues are debated. I'm speaking out of turn here, but I've never been to any of these agricultural trade forum meetings. But I don't think they serve our purpose. A forum cannot decide on trade. You must think practically about trade and then sit with the leaders of industry and say, how are we going to tactically exploit it? And some of these tactics you shouldn't disclose to your competitors. Now, we have a trade forum and anybody has access to this. This issue about asymmetric information. Ma'am, I've been to Chile, and the Chileans, they lied to me about their statistics. Their statistics for trade, their statistics about how much they're sending to the world and so on, but it's part of the way they tactically position themselves in the market, because if they do tell us the truth, then we will probably out-compete them. But there are ways in which we can know what the truth is from what is false, and that's why we have foreign offices in these countries. The information that we can get from these foreign offices, I visited some of them, is invaluable. But we're not using our foreign offices for our trade purposes. We only use it for diplomatic purposes. So we've got to get cleverer about that. I have this question about, it's a big question, how do you see the future of agriculture given the global realities? It's a tough question, it's an unfair question to be asking, because the global realities are against small-scale farming, which we're trying to support. It's against emerging agriculture, it's against family farming. The tendency is bigger, better, more industrialized. Now, there is opportunity there, and this is what we're saying. Part of the one critical thing that I think we've missed post deregulation is we've not found the real means by which we can incentivize markets to work better. You know, the key finding about the marketing review committees that we were successful in deregulating, but we failed in other things. We failed in managing trade liberalization, we failed in supporting black farmers, we failed in research, we failed in finance, appropriate finance, and so on. So there are many areas of failure. But now the question is, so how do you correct that failure? You can either ask government to do more, which I dread, because nowhere in the world will government be effective in providing these things. It's not because I don't like government or because it's fanciful to be critical of government. It's rather saying it's more effective if we can incentivize markets to work better. Now, I ask myself, where are the incentives to South African businesses, cooperatives, food processors, be it white business, we are the incentives to them to engage with black farmers so they can be mainstream into this industry where they hold the power. We cannot create parallel markets, it will not work. But there are no incentives, and if we can't find those incentives, markets won't work. Part of the industry is developing. The purpose there is really to identify the incentives through which we can make markets work for the poor. Maybe you guys will start taking some of the questions as well. But food prices are rising and should we use our tariffs better? Definitely. You know, the cycle of the grain industry, take the wheat industry for example. The wheat price is increasing. It's not on a short-term increase, it's on a medium-term increase, which to my mind is the next 2 years or so. And it is because there's an undersupply in the world of wheat. Now, had we introduced a tariff a year earlier, not the 2%, I mean 2% is meaningless, it can insult anybody, at something like 10 to 15%, I think we would have made our farmers richer. And a country that wants to support agriculture must have a strategy to make your farmers rich. There's a different strategy about the equity in that industry. But if you cannot support your farmers with the mechanisms you have, and we do have these mechanisms, one of our papers clearly shows in certain grain industries we can provide more support. I think we should have used it. I've just seen in India that because 800 million people live in rural areas, they don't have but an option to use not only the maximum tariff rates that they have, but they go beyond that if need be. But we need an administration that can manage these things on a 6 month basis or 3 month basis and not wait. Once you have a tariff like we have with the red meat industry, then you have it forever until someone complains. We need a more flexible tariff administration to happen. Our recommendation in this marketing review thing is to trade administration back into the NAMC, even if you must move some of the people from the department to the NAMC where there is core competence on trade. What we do is trade administration, but there is no intelligent thinking around our position in trade. Maybe I should just address this issue of who do we report to. You are correct that we by what we say in our strategic plan and by the Marketing Act, that the NAMC reports to the Minister. And we prefer to have it that way. However, for the previous Minister and the previous Director General of Agriculture, the system that reigned was the Minister would not interact directly with us, but she would interact with us via the department. So the NAMC would have a documentation line to the Minister. But in terms of operations, and especially in terms of budget, the arrangement was through the department, through the DG, and the DG at that stage and still today would delegate decisions, important decisions like our budget and our functions and our activities, to a junior staff member, I'm not even sure if it's a director. So I have a CEO of the NAMC who must report to a chief director in the Department of Agriculture. And I mean, whenever he calls to complain to me, this is a complaint. Why must I report this? We are an advisory body to the Minister. Since our last meeting with you, I mean, we've met four, if not more, often with four times with the Minister. So it has certainly helped. And I think we have a Minister who is more open to engaging with us, talking to us and so on. But we still have a bit of that vagueness from the past, which means that the NAMC and the Department of Agriculture, when it comes to marketing and trade, are at loggerheads. Because you know, there's no clear line between the two, and this is part of what must be clarified. And international trade is one of the areas that suffers tremendously. The new international trade policy document was just written a month ago. Most of the inputs in that document has come from the NAMC and from industry, not from inside the department. And key personnel have also left that division. If there's anything you can do to give greater credence and capacity to the whole international trade, we only have a year or two where we can play this game of proper marketing tactics in international trade. Otherwise, our competitors take us out of the water. Maybe you can touch on the other question.
In terms of the food price monitoring, the food safety issue, we don't have in terms of the three other two, we indicated that in terms of the summer trade scheme, we have designed that and we are working with the main or the parts to raise enough money to support the scheme. The three other schemes we don't have money for. And unfortunately, some of these industries are not the industries that have a lot of money. So we need to go find money somewhere else in order to create But examples of some of these, in terms of CIPAS, the idea is designing a scheme that you can have payment of the packaging cost for collection for stores. And we believe that we pay half of the packaging cost. Most of the farmers who probably wouldn't make money if they probably make a lot of money. What like and whatever will be. The same applies to clinical markets. If like agents who sell in the market don't necessarily pay 5% commission but pay let's say argument 6% commission. So to take a percent of that and give back to farmers who jump in there. And if you do that, a lot more farmers who market for black agents and some of the black agents in the market should be a lot more sustainable. In terms of reshaping we have developed a policy in terms of transformation of the project. We started by saying that 20% of the money should be used for transformation. We had a problem in terms of how do you define transformation. We have developed a policy that will go to the Minister of Food so that every part when they implement the issues that need to be transformation, we follow the policy that they want to do. And that way you have implemented a 20% that they want to implement the transformation. In terms of, there was a question in terms of the agribusiness technical assistance fund. Last year we had 300,000 net in the school system. But things that we have content on was sending black farmers to markets, more specifically black farmers to markets in Europe and other countries where they thrive. Things like this is a trade show that I think that farmers will develop management materials to avoid market customers. Things like the patient that she from a vegetable supplier is a commercial supply for us. Things like training. So those are things that we change for the original farmer. It's not a lot of money, but that's good. We have a list of farmers who that is supported through the program and I think it's a through the agribusiness technical assistance fund, some of the farmers will require payment. We have used nutrition like IBS for payment. And yes, you are right. I know that the Department of Agriculture really didn't have and I know that before they used the money for the fund for the institution, but that has been a great effect to other countries. And colleges like the business here and the college in Denver is now being used for training farmers now that they need to be able to handle it. The agreement that we reach students that we pay their tuition costs, to pay for their accommodation, and pay for the research work. So and then we reach those agreements with universities and transfer the funding to universities in order to do that. The hope is that all the students that we provide for policy will either work for the NEC or continue to work at the university, and we can do progress with them. That's where you arrive. You stop spending on the faculty and then start using the research. That's the question. I know the figure is not much, and as time goes on, we have the same application from other places. When additional money comes to the university, that's what we need. No, there's no agreement that says that you work for the ONC. There are those who, when you operate, who you work for the ONC. But we believe that universities will continue to use some of them, and in reality, more especially when it comes to trade.
To the answers, could we not to help us in our decision making on to the future of the National Agricultural Marketing Council, ask the council to present us with the structure in which they become relevant in the decision making of agricultural marketing? How do they see they can become relevant? That they give us such a structure, and from this we can then take it further from this committee and make it make an recommendation to the minister.
Just a follow up to that, even the former head of information. How has the minister received your reports on market? On the market environment.
The minister received it. She's taken notice of it. The report you have there is a summary. The full report is about 700 pages. So she said, give me some time to go through this thing, and within a month or so, she'll respond to us. And that's basically what it is.
Maybe I think with a review of the marketing council act, the intent or something along those lines, and make the marketing council more effective and some other areas. But we should speak out and talk about it, and bring that kind of thing away that we enable it to get into more decisions.
Thanks for the presentation. Talking about the failure again.
I'm